بدأنا بسم الله وبالصلاة الله على رسول الله وآله الأبرار. Begin with بسم الله and with صلاة الله upon رسول الله.
سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أمراض القلوب واللسان كاملة. اللقاء 17 تحت عنوان الغيبة وعنوان محاضرة الغيبة المحاضرة رقم 6. Brothers and sisters, we are talking about evil actions of the hearts and the tongues. This is lecture number 17, and we're talking about backbiting, lecture number 6. We have said before that the punishment of a person who backbites can be in this dunya, in the grave, and in the hereafter. And we said also that what motivates a person to backbite could be anger, could be jealousy, could be envy. It could be you're just trying to please someone, could be you're trying to look better than someone, could be fear of someone, could be just you're having fun, you're trying to mock someone, or simply you're a weak believer. Aisha radiallahu anha reported a story when she was slandered in her honor, hadith al-ifk. And when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asking the companions about Aisha radiallahu anha, among those companions that he asked is the mother of the believers, Zainab bint Jahsh. Zainab bint Jahsh, she was not, how to put it, her and Aisha radiallahu anha, they were jealous, extremely jealous of one another. Aisha is the love of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Zainab bint Jahsh was very beautiful too. So they were competing for the love of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is a golden opportunity for Zainab to take advantage of this situation and say something to support whatever the accusation was against Aisha radiallahu anha. Because this is what jealousy does. It makes you, when you are backbiting, it is because of envy. So there is jealousy between Aisha and Zainab. But we said the last thing is weak belief. Zainab bint Jahsh was not a weak believer, radiallahu anha. For that reason, listen what she said. قالت يا رسول الله احمي سمعي وبصري ما علمت إلا خير. O Prophet of Allah, I protect my vision and I protect my hearing. I never heard anything about Aisha except good. Now, for someone that you are so jealous of, it's not easy for a weak believer to say those words. Look what Aisha radiallahu anha said. قالت وهي التي كانت تساميني من أزواج رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فعصمها الله بالورع. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected her because of her faith, even though she was my number one competitor when it comes to the wives of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She did not take advantage of this opportunity because of her faith. We also said that one of the reasons why, or among the reasons that we backbite scholars, it is either jealousy or envy or following our whims and desires, or we're just simply imitating were simply prejudiced to a certain scholar, or we're trying to behave or act like we are knowledgeable, or hypocrisy, or just simply we are cooperating with the enemies to destroy Islam. We also said, the last thing that we have talked about is, there are situations that you can backlight, and they are put together in this or these two lines of poetry. القرح ليس لغيبة في ستة متظلم ومعرف ومحدر ومجاهد فسقا ومستفت ومن طلب الإعانة في إزالة المكارم. Six situations: a person who's being oppressed, a person who wants to identify another person, a person who wants to warn from another person, a person who is publicizing a sin, a person who is asking for a legal ruling, Islamic legal ruling, and a person who is asking help against someone to remove an evil act. In this situation, backbiting is permitted. We talked about all of that. Let's talk about how do we deal with ghibah. How do we treat it? Ilaj al-ghibah. We know that ghibah, backbiting, is a deadly disease. And we know that it is a person who backbites gains the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the day of judgment, he will end up losing his good deeds. And he's going to give his good deeds to the person whom he's been backbiting. And if he runs out of good deeds, he's going to give the evil deeds of that person. He's going to be attacked by the person who whom he's backbiting in this dunya. In fact, he may, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, incites your enemy against you. Like I talk about one person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make that person an enemy of mine, and he will incite him against me, and that is definitely something that you don't want to have. So therefore, you need to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you need to repent from that sin and keep away from it. And whenever you think about backbiting, look at yourself, look at your shortcuts, and then you will be ashamed of talking about others when you look at yourself and you find out that you're not that great yourself. You have so many things that people can talk about, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected you. As the poet says, فَإِنْ عِبْتَ قَوْمًا بِالَّذِي فِيكَ مِثْلَهُ فَكَيْفَ يَعِيبُ النَّاسَ مَنْ هُوَ أَعْوَرُ وَإِنْ عِبْتَ قَوْمًا بِالَّذِي لَيْسَ فِيهِمُ فَذَلِكَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ وَالنَّاسِ أَكْبَرُ. If you look down at people, something that they have, a defect that they have, and you have something like it. So a person who has the defect, how can he talk about other people's defect? Doesn't make sense. A person who is blind, how can he look down at people who are blind? Other situation, and if you look down at others with something that they don't have, something like you slandering, this is too big in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in the sight of people. People don't like it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't like it, and therefore the punishment is big. Now some of you may say, oh, alhamdulillah, I'm perfect. You will run into some people who think that they are perfect. So if you are perfect, why don't you busy yourself with thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this perfection that you have? Where did you get it from? It's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, rather than talking about other people's defect, busy yourself with praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make this ni'mah to continue to be on you if you think that you are this perfect. Because if you want to treat yourself from something, look at what causes it and cut it from there. towards that, how can we help ourselves? We need something that encourages us to quit. One of those things, taqwa Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wa istihya'mi. To always be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and shy from committing anything that he doesn't like. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the companions radiallahu anhu, استحي من الله حق الحياة, shy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the true shyness. They said, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are shy and we thank Allah. إِنَّا نَسْتَحْيِي وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this is not the shyness that I'm talking about. مَنْ اسْتَحْيَى مِنَ اللَّهِ حَقَّ الْحَيَاءِ فَلْيَحْفَظَ الرَّأْسَ وَمَا وَعَى وَالْبَطْنَ وَمَا حَوَى وَلِتَذْكُرَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْبِلَى وَمَنْ أَرَادَ الْآخِرَةِ تَرَكَ زِينَةَ الدُّنْيَا فَمَنْ فَعَلَ ذَلِكَ فَقَدْ اسْتَحْيَى مِنَ اللَّهِ حَقَّ الْحَيَاءِ. Protect your head and what it contains. Let it be your thoughts. Let it be your vision. Let it be your hearing. Let it be your tongue. Take care of that. Protect your inside. Let it be the food that you eat. Let it be the heart that you have. Remember death. And remember the agonies of death. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and anyone who seeks the hereafter, he will leave and abandon the glamour of this dunya. Anyone who does that has fulfilled the true shyness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is one of the things that will help you stay away from backbiting. Protecting your head, that's the tongue. That's where backbiting comes from. Protect your inside, that's your heart. That's where everything resides. Anger, hatred, envy, all of those things that makes you talk. The day of judgment, that makes you stop. Because you know you're going to be accounted. Death, you know it terminates your deeds. Second one, remember the loss that you're going to incur when you backbite. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَتَدْرُونَ مَنِ الْمُفْلِسِ. Do you know who is the bankrupt? Now remember, when you're dealing with loss, for me to lose something, it's bad, but it may not be as bad as losing something to my enemy. That's big. If I lost my wallet, it's bad. But if I know my enemy got my wallet, boy, that's going to burn me hard. If I lose some hasanat because of backbiting, it's horrible. But if I know I gave it to someone I don't like, that's going to make it even bigger. And who gets your hasanat when you backbite? The person that you don't like. And who takes his bad deeds? Same thing, you. So you're giving him your good deeds and you're taking his bad deeds, and it's someone you don't like. Imagine when you are forced to put someone first class and you're not making it there. And who is that in first class? Someone you can't stand. You want him to be the last. And it's you who is putting him there. That makes you quit. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asking the companions, do you know who is the bankrupt? Very easy, especially nowadays, right? Everybody's bankrupt. That's what the companions thought. The one who doesn't have any cash. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, who cares about that? So you remember the hadith before. وَمَنْ أَرَادَ الْآخِرَةَ تَرَكَ زِينَةَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Anyone who wants the hereafter, he leaves the glamour of this dunya. And if money is not from the glamour of this dunya, then I don't know what else. So this is the first thing that came to their mind. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, we're not talking about that. We're not talking about cash. Let's tell you who or what is the thing that we're talking about. إِنَّ الْمُفْلِسَ مِنْ أُمَّتِي يَأْتِي مَنْ يَأْتِي يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ بصلاة وصيام وزكاة ويأتي وقد شمل هذا وقذف هذا وأكل مال هذا وسفك دم هذا وضرب هذا فيعطي هذا من حسناته وهذا من حسناته فإن فنيت حسناته قبل أن يقضي ما عليه أخذ من خطاياهم فطرحت عليه ثم طرح في النار. The real bankrupt is the person who is mashallah. 5 daily prayers, could be in the masjid too. Fasting the month of Ramadan, could be with Taraweeh too. Paying zakat, could be with extra charity too, fundraisers, you know, that's extra charity. We know you're paying your zakat. And he comes the day of judgment with simple problems. He cussed this person, he hit this person, he oppressed this person, he may kill this person, so he has to pay. This person takes from his good deeds, and this person takes from his good deed, and this person takes from his good deed, he runs out. Well, they did not get their right. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most just. Every person will get his right. Every person will pay what he owes. Well, what is hasanat? What is hasanat? To get a hasanat or to lose a bad deed is the same thing, right? Because hasanat erases bad deed. If I lose a bad deed, it's like I'm getting one hasanat. I ran out of hasanat, I'll get this person's bad. I owe him 5 hasanat, don't have it. Okay, I'll give you 5 of my bad deeds. I'll be a little bit lighter. Now maybe I can go higher in Jannah or less punishment in the hellfire. And now you are loaded with this person's bad deed, this person's bad deed. You lost your hasanat, you're loaded with bad deeds. Hellfire. So if you know that, then definitely it will keep you away from backfire. تذكر عيوب نفسك. قال أنس بن مالك رضي الله عنه, one of the companions, يقول أدركت بهذه البلدة يعني المدينة أقواما لم يكن لهم عيوب فعادوا الناس فصارت لهم عيوب وأدركت أناسا في هذه البلدة أو أقواما كانت لهم عيوب فسكتوا عن عيوب الناس فنسيت عيوبهم. He said, I lived long enough here in this town, Medina, that people who don't have any shortcuts, they started talking about other people, other people's shortcomings, and now they have collected a lot of shortcuts. And I have lived long enough to witness some people who have shortcuts, and they refrained from talking about people's shortcomings. People forgot their shortcuts. See, a person, they do a bad deed, and then he is so kind, he doesn't talk about anybody. People will forget his bad deed. Look at him, mashallah. Nothing he has. And look at a person who is mashallah, but yet he talks about people. Then he started to accumulate shortcuts. الحسن البصري رحمه الله يقول كنا نتحدث أن من عير أخاه بذنب قد تاب إلى الله منه ابتلاه الله به. We used to talk to one another that if one person committed an evil act and he sincerely repented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you commit an act, you repent, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives you. When people talk about that evil deed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tries them with the same bad deed. For instance, a person fell short in raising his children Islamically, or his child Islamically. Did not pay attention to him himself, did not send him to Islamic schools. His child became evil child, not a good person. People will talk about him. You know, people who don't have children or who have children and mashallah are good children. Yeah, look at that person. He left his son and he never did anything for him. He was too cheap to spend any money on him. And look, how bad his son is, and look how bad his son is. What did they say? They say that the person who does that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will inflict him with the bad thing. His son or some of his children will become behaving like that. Number 4, Mujalasat al-Salihin. Be with the people who are righteous. Most of the people are attracted to unrighteous people. Why? Because they have so much to talk. And people, you know, like, it's a true saying that an ear will never get tired of listening to news. An eye will never get tired of looking. Okay? A man will not get tired of loving a woman. And a woman will not get tired of loving a man. These are realities. That's why when you look, you have an eye that loves to look and will never get tired. And you are a male. You like the woman anyway. And your eyes like to look. Therefore, it's impossible to take a second look and to say, Alhamdulillah, I was satisfied. You know, the first time you look, an accident look, you turn your head. Shaitan tells you, take a second look, so yeah, whatever you want to see, you will see it, and Alhamdulillah, you will be satisfied. It will never work, because your eyes want to see more. So here, when we talk about Mujalasat al-Salihin, sit with the people who are righteous. It's hard. Wallahi, it's hard. Because they're going to keep talking to you about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For people who like to hear jokes and backbiting and listening and looking down at people and businesses and cash and all of that, it's very hard to sit with someone who most of the time is starting to call Allah, call the Rasul, the death and the day of judgment. Ah, this guy is pessimistic, as they say. مَهَلُ الْجَلِيسِ الصَّالِحِ وَالسُّوءُ كَحَامِلِ الْمِسْكِ وَنَافِثِ الْكِيمِ. Look at the example that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to entice you, to encourage you, to have a good friend is like perfume. And a bad friend is like the smell of a blacksmith fire. Stinks. This person who's selling perfume, it's either you buy something from him, you're going to smell good, he's going to give you a sample, here, test it, you're going to smell good, or the area around him smells good anyway. This one here, it's either you're going to smell bad, or he's going to burn your clothes. Good person, he's either going to benefit you from his knowledge, like buying the mist, or give you a sample, recite something, or benefit you with something, or you just enjoy the company where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness and serenity and the angels will descend in their presence. This evil person, he's either going to teach you bad habits or make you collect sins that end result burn in the hellfire, or you're going to look bad just simply being by him. Look who is he is sitting with. Look at his friend. Look at the person that he talks to. Look at the person he associates with. This is how you stay away from backbiting, is choosing a good friend. Talk about Siyar al-Salihin. When you read the biography of the righteous predecessors from the companions and from the Tabi'in and you see how they used to struggle against themselves so that they can go up, that will encourage you too. يعني يقول الفضيل بن عياض يقول كان بعض أصحابنا نحفظ كلامه من الجمعة إلى الجمعة. فضيل بن عياض said that we had some friends that we can memorize what they say from Friday to Friday. What does that mean? He talks very little. من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليقل خيرا أو ليصمت. If you believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the day of judgment, say something good or be quiet. So what they memorize from him? The good things that he has to say to them. And definitely, if you only talk good, I guarantee you your talk is going to be almost nothing. Most of us. Because I mean, if you talk to me, you're going to be talking about an ayah or about a hadith or about helping someone. That's going to be very minimum. But most of our talk, it's involving the dunya. Also, you need to punish yourself to stay away from that party. يقول سمعت حرملة يقول سمعت رسول ابن وهب يقول نذرت أني كلما اقتربت إنسانا أن أصوم يوما فأجهلني فكنت أغتاب وأصوم فنويت أني كلما اقتربت إنسانا أني أتصدق بدرهم. Watch this. فمن حب الدراهم تركت الريبة. I told you people love cash. Harmala said, I heard the messenger of Ibn Wahb. Yani, a person that he sent, Ibn Wahb. He said, I made a vow that every time I backbite, I will fast one day. That's a tough one. He said, so what I do, I used to backbite and fast. Can you do that? Well, it didn't work, basically. So he wants to punish himself with something that works. He said, then I made a different vow. Every time I backbite, I pay a dollar. He said, because of my inordinate love of money, I stopped backbiting. Some people, they need to punish themselves by not eating a sandwich. Some people love food. So make a vow that you will not eat. So this is a punishment that you do. You know what you like most. This is what you punish yourself with to stay away from backbiting. Kafaratul ghiba. You made a backbite. You want to repent it. What do you have to do? We know it's a sin, and we repented, but there are conditions. There are four conditions. Four conditions for the person to repent from backbiting. Number one, to refrain from backbiting right away. It's not like, you know, tomorrow at Dhuhr, inshallah, no more backbiting. Because I have some people coming over to my house tonight. Boy, they're going to tell me lots of stories, so let me just enjoy this man. Now, right away. أَنْ يَنْدَمْ عَلَى مَا فَاتْ. Regret it. That's a condition. Imagine yourself, you stop backbiting, and a week later you go, oh, it was beautiful days before. You know, we used to socialize, we used to sit and talk. And boy, we talk about everybody, and we laugh all night long. Good old days. That's not a person who repented. أَنْ يَعْزِمْ أَلَّا يَعُودْ. Intention not to come back again. Like that stuff for Allah in the back of your mind. Hey, now I'm zero sayyidat. I'll do it tomorrow. I say stuff for Allah. you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept, right? He does. Anytime you repent, He accepts. But at the same time, He knows if you're sincere or not. That's a dangerous one. At-tahallul min al-madhalim. Make sure that you go to each individual. Can you imagine? If you want to go to each individual person that you talk behind his back and ask his forgiveness, how much gas are you going to spend? You're going to have to convert it to money these days. Like a brother, he passed by my car and he's going to the same place. And he decided to go drive with his car, and I followed him with my car. He was sick. You know what I mean by sick? Not sick in the sense that he's bad. He was sick, he was not feeling good. It did not really dawn to him that gas may cost him $5-6 so we could shave it. Anytime you backbite, you committed two murders, two catastrophes. One against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the second one against His servants, whoever you were backbiting. The first one you did against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told you backbiting is haram. You still did it. You broke the boundaries of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's a crime. The second one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told you, don't do it because your brother's right upon you is to defend him, not to attack him. You know, if you pass by a brother and he's in need for your help, let's say he's in a fight, and you can do something, you can protect him, and you don't, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to let you down in a time that you are so badly in need for some defense. And if you protect your brother's honor when he's absent, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to defend you and protect your honor when you need that protection. You know, I'm sitting with someone and he starts bashing someone else. I say, brother, no, that's not right. What you're talking about him is not right. No, he is not like that. He is so and so and so and so. You got it wrong. I think what you are doing is something haram. You need to stay away from it, because not only you are not telling the truth about that person, you're also talking behind his back. I'm defending him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will keep that for me and defend me when I need it. Tayyib. Here, when you backbite, you violated the rights of your brother. So that's a crime. Two, by itself. So what do you need to do? You need to go to the person and ask his forgiveness. And listen what Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu said. We said the hadith before. If you have, he said, من كانت عنده مظلمة لأخيه من عرضه أو شيء ركز أو شيء يعني أي شيء من حق الأخوة أن تحافظ عليه. Anyone who committed any act of oppression against his brother or any of his rights you have violated, then you need to ask his forgiveness now, before the day of judgment. Why? Because the day of judgment, what are you going to do? You're going to give him from your hasanah. Tayyib. Let's say that I did that, and the brother refused. Wallahi, and I thought, you talk about me? The last person that I ever thought that you backbite me. No, brother, I will not forgive you. Brother, people make mistakes. Not you, brother. People make mistakes, but not you. What are you going to do? Leave it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You've done your best. The day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will please your brother. Let's say he comes and faces you. طلوا الحبايب. يوم القيامة you meet your brother and now you pay up. Pay up what? You have talked, you have said, oh Allah, I repented. I asked His forgiveness. I've done everything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did it. Move away. What is it that you want? I want the 100 rewards. There you go. And guess what? Then after that you give each other a hug and you go to jail. Both of you. Removes all the hatred, all the animosity and everything, and you enter the Jannah like nothing happened. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will please him. But here in this dunya, it is highly recommended if someone comes to you to free him. It is not a must on you, but it is preferred to do that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in the Quran, وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظَ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ. Those people who control their anger and forgive. But these are qualities of the righteous people. They forgive. But it is not a right upon you to forgive. Keep that in mind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَجَزَاءُ سَيِّئَةٍ سَيِّئَةٌ مِثْلُهَا. The recompense of a bad deed is to get something equivalent to that. Either you do the same, you don't want to backbite him back. Like, okay, you're backbiting me? Tomorrow, I'm going to call my friend so-and-so and we're going to spend the whole night talking about you. it's haram. This is your right, but it's haram to, like if someone cusses you, you can't cuss him back. Why? Because it's prohibited. If someone hits you, you can hit him back. Okay? The act has to be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what do? If someone does that, you either forgive him or you don't. If you don't, who takes care of him, of you? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But does he lose his right? No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pays it for him and he makes him happy. So keep that in mind because some people think that you have to forgive. No, you don't have to forgive. Also, if I think that I talk behind his back and I wanted to repent, if I go to him, then guess what happens? He's going to get angry. It's better not to go to him. If you know he's not going to take it, don't do it. Why? Because this is not the purpose, is to make him angry. So what do? To make up for it. I make dua for him, without him knowing. I give charity on his behalf. Let's say I oppressed him with money. And if I go and tell him, listen, you know last time when we had that argument, I fixed your car for $75 and really worth $60, you were right. You know, I overcharged you. The part costs $35, I charge you $50. Some kind of a mechanic. I bet you don't do that only for me, you do it for everybody. Maybe that's why you live where you live. No, Habib, you know, keep your $15. I don't need it. I'll take it from you the day of judgment. Why did I do that? But if you know the guy, then you can go. But if you know he's bad, no. I'll take that $15 and I go put it in center masjid. No offense. Can't say Urban. And then I say on behalf of the mechanic. Instead of just, the brother or whoever you done that, it would be a lot better. Why? Because you're going to. So you make dua for him, you can give charity for him, you can defend him. If you put him down in front of people, in a situation where he's feeling down, you boost him up, but not with lies. this guy was bragging to his wife, and he wanted to tell her how powerful and how much he fights for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, I was a martyr in the battle of Karama. And he's talking to her. So basically he's dead and he's still alive. So you don't want to boost the guy with lies. Something that he really has, you talk about it and you make up for putting him down. Ghiba is levels. It can be kufr, it can be haram, and it can be mubah. Ghiba can be disbelief. It can be something that is forbidden, and it can be accepted, permissible. Kufr, if you know someone is backbiting, you come to him and you say, brother, backbiting is haram. He says, no, it's not haram. That's kufr. Because we know backbiting is haram. If he denies it is haram, this is like saying something Allah said haram, and he's saying it is permissible. That's kufr. If you tell him backbiting is haram, and he goes, I know, but you know, you gotta enjoy yourself. This is a major sin. And if you want to do one of the six things that we have mentioned, it is permissible. You want to identify a person, you want to stop evil, you want to, you know, the same, متضلل ومحذر ومعرف ومجاهل وفسق ومستفتن وطالب إعانته في إزالة ممكن. How about if you listen to someone backbiting about someone we you don't know? Is it permissible?
Yeah.
Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam listened to the hadith Umzah. You know hadith Umzah. If we talk about this hadith, it would be awesome. You know, 11 sisters, companions, gathered together to praise or to talk about their husbands. And this hadith, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam listened to this story. Not because he wants to listen, or this is something that he liked. No, but it was reported that he listened to it. And that's why he was, he used to tell Aisha radiallahu anha, I am like Abu Zar to Umza, to you. He said, I am like, that's not me, brother.
That's what I'm saying.
That's me?
No, you have the charge of saying that they cannot see you.
Where are you now? I burned the screen. How about backbiting disbelievers? I know one brother asked me that. Mm-hmm. My first question, why do you want to do that? I mean, you ran out of Muslims? Brother, if we say that a person who publicizes a sin, he doesn't have any sanctity, he doesn't have, you can talk about that, a person who publicizes a sin. What is bigger sin than associating prophets with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Public. But busy yourself with good things. But as a rule, no, even though some scholars say it's still prohibited. But I don't think so, because it's permitted for a Muslim who is publicizing a sin. So it's definitely more deserving to be permitted from someone who's publicizing a major sin. Actually, a kufr sin. But what about dead people? Dead people, it's sufficient to know this hadith. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Udhkuru mahasina mawtakum wa kufu an masawiyya." Mention the good deeds of your dead people and refrain from saying anything about their bad actions. If this is not enough for you, I don't know what else. Because they already finished. They already going to face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with whatever they have done. Whatever you do, you're not going to change anything. So therefore, refrain from doing that. What about children? Is it backbiting when you talk about children? Or let's say I'm a teacher. I come to another person and say, I have this kid, his name is so-and-so, he's a devil. He's not an adult. Okay, he's not an adult himself. Meaning if he comes and says, I have a teacher, he's a devil, he's forgiven. But am I forgiven? No. Because I'm an adult. I'm accounted for what I say. He's not accounted for what he says. Therefore, a child can't backbite an elder cannot do that. So you find that with teachers, you find that with babysitters, you find all of those people talk about children and they think that it is accepted. No, it is not accepted in Islam. I want to tell you that some of the... Wow. Time runs fast when you're having fun. I think we'll just freeze it here to Mabahir al-Ghina. There are some examples that I have collected about Ghina, backbiting nowadays. What people do, certain things that they do, forms of backbiting, and it will show you actually a lot of, we have a big example, hadith of the time Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we will talk about next time inshallah the ahwal al-ulama ma'al-ghina. We'll talk about the scholars and backbiting. What do they say about it? So when you hear what they say about backbiting, and you already know it's haram, and you already, we already said all the things that will make you refrain from doing that, or helps you refrain from doing that, put all those things together, it will definitely, inshallah, lead you to just freeze backbiting as much as you can. We will continue, inshallah, next time, and we will talk about those ways that why people, or the things that people backbite nowadays, and we'll give some examples of the scholars. That will be next time. If you need to see this or see something like this, sunnahfollowers.net or imamhasankhalil.wordpress.com. My email is imam@centermasjid.org or hasan@centermasjid.org for questions from the internet, if the internet is still working. We'll get that. Other than that, inshallah, if you have any questions, we'll take from